have the privilege of pastoring here and the joy of preaching week after week. So we've been going through the book of Ephesians for the last 5 months, I believe, and it's been a wonderful study for my heart, and I hope for yours as well. Today is the final day in Ephesians. I thought we were going to end in it a few weeks ago, but I kept dragging my feet. I didn't want to finish up and didn't want to go through the end too fast. But today we are coming to the end. And so I think, you know, I'm glad that I'm not in school anymore. I loved my time in school, but I at least need a break from it. But I was thinking about my time in school and all of the times that I've had exams or quizzes and, you know, the final last minute cramming, making sure I know everything for that. And part of my studying process, I know everybody has a little different studying process, but part of my studying process is, you know, just kind of keywords and key themes that I have to remember. And so as I would be cramming for a test or a quiz, you know, going over those key elements, you know, this theme is this, it plays out in this way, and just trying to conceptualize that. And so that's what I'm thinking about for Ephesians today. As we come into the final verses of Ephesians, you know, the way that I think about what Paul is doing here is almost that final review. That as he is wrapping up the 6 chapters we've seen before this, he wants to leave us with, you know, the things we should remember. That what we'll see in these final verses today are key themes that have come up throughout the entire letter. And he's going to use them in a little bit different ways than what he's talked about them before. But I think that what we are left with is this final review. That as we come into these last verses, we will see the major themes of this letter that are peace, love, faith, and grace. And so as I was thinking through this, I'm just thinking over and over again, peace, love, faith, grace, peace, love, faith, grace. That as I think as we look at these today, that's kind of, if those 4 words stick in your brain, if they stick in your heart, I think that sets you up pretty well to remember all of Ephesians. Peace, love, faith, grace. Let those play over and over in your head and associate those with what we've seen throughout this letter. So that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at those 4 things. We're going to look at the way that Paul wraps this up, that we've seen these themes all throughout Ephesians. And we'll look at, as he uses those 4 terms, we'll look at how they come into play in the letter as a whole. But those are what should stick in your brain. Peace, love, faith, and grace. That's what the gospel hinges on. That's what the gospel does. That's what the gospel produces in our hearts and calls us to imitate as we follow Christ. So as we jump in, let's pray one more time and we'll look at this passage together. Father, once more, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the work of Christ on our behalf. We thank you for the cross, his body broken for us, his blood shed for us, the new covenant in his blood. We thank you for the gift of salvation by grace through faith. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit dwelling in us to produce in our hearts the work that you have designed for us. Lord, help us to walk in your grace day after day. To remember that it is by grace we are redeemed, it is by grace we are restored. To walk by grace into the arms of Christ our Lord. Lord, we pray that would be every moment of every day in our lives, that we would remember the gospel of Christ, we would remember the message of salvation, we would dwell in it, we would proclaim it to others. Lord, I pray that you'd be honored and glorified in this brief time looking at your word this morning. That you would help us to remember all that you have laid out in Ephesians for us to know, to believe, and to walk in. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first thing we will see as we wrap this all up, as Paul wraps this all up, I think is an implicit encouragement for us to faithfully serve to encourage others. As followers of Christ, as we have been changed by the grace of God, as we have been made alive in the gospel, in the resurrection of Christ, faithfully serve to encourage others. So we see in verses 21 and 22, as Paul is closing this letter, he says, "So that you may also know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. So as we see this example of Tychicus, I think that we're implicitly told, faithfully serve to encourage one another. And so Paul, he's wrapping it all up. He's greeting these people, this Ephesian church, and we believe this letter would then be passed from Ephesus on to other churches in the surrounding area. But Tychicus is the one who takes it. If you remember, Paul, he's in prison as he's writing this. Paul is not free himself to go deliver this letter. In fact, if Paul were going to them, he wouldn't even need to write the letter because he would just tell them all of this in person. But Paul is in prison. He's writing to these churches, primarily Ephesus, but also, again, we believe it probably was intended to be passed along. He's writing to these churches to tell them how to live, to tell them, to remind them of the gospel. In light of the gospel, this is how Christ calls you to walk. But he also wants them to be encouraged. He doesn't want them to worry about him as he's in prison. Because again, the imprisonment in Rome is not a cushy jail cell. It's often dark and damp, and you're at the grace of the people around you. You're not always taken care of with 3 square meals and some recreation time and a job that you can do on work release and all of these things. That you're in prison and you're at the mercy of other people. There's a chance that when Paul's writing this, he might be in under house arrest, so it might be a little more comfortable than that, but he still does not have the freedom to come and go as he wishes. This may be his imprisonment in Rome that we see at the end of Acts, but we're not entirely certain about that. But regardless, Paul is in prison, and as you might expect, the people who care about Paul might be worried about him. That, you know, is he going to make it out? Will he be released, or is this the end? Is this how Paul meets his fate? What the Lord has in mind for him? And we don't know. He probably was released after this, but we're not certain. But Paul knows that these people are probably worried about him, and so part of the reason that he sends Tychicus is not just to deliver this letter, but to let them know how Paul's doing. Hey, Paul is in prison, but he wants you to know that his faith is in the Lord. He doesn't always have the food that he needs, but he wants you to know, as he says in Philippians, that he is content in any and every situation because he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. He wants these believers to know how he's doing. So Tychicus brings this letter and reports on it. Don't worry about him. Pray for him. Remember, last week we saw that Paul asks them, pray for me that I would know the words to speak. Pray for me that even though I'm in prison for my faith in the gospel, pray that I would continue to boldly proclaim it. Pray that I would not turn away from the truth of the gospel to spare my own life. It's these things that Tychicus is reporting on. Paul, yeah, he's got it hard. He's not free. He's suffering, but it's worth it. Because again, as Paul says in Philippians, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. That in whatever situation Paul is in, he has learned that what matters is his faithfulness to Christ. What matters is that Christ is faithful to him. That Christ made him alive through the hope of the gospel. And so Tychicus will be conveying news like that to the Ephesian church. But we also see that Tychicus himself is an example to be followed. That we don't know a whole lot about him, but we know that he delivers this letter to the Ephesian church. He also delivers the letter to the Colossian church with almost verbatim the same commendation. We see that he may have traveled with Paul on his journeys. He's mentioned, I believe, in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy that he would be, again, returning to Ephesus. But how he describes him here is he's a beloved brother. He is a fellow Christian, that we use the words brother and sister to greet one another as Christians because, again, as we saw in the beginning of Ephesians, we are all adopted by the Father. If you have believed the gospel, if you have put your faith in Jesus for salvation, you are adopted by the Creator of the universe. And so all of us who have been adopted are brothers and sisters together in the family of God. Tychicus, he's a beloved brother. Paul can count on him. Paul loves him dearly. Not only that, though, but he's a faithful minister in the Lord. He has done his duties with faithfulness. He has served well. This word for minister is, in Greek, it's diakonos. It's where we get the word deacon from. It could be that Tychicus was serving in the position, in the office of deacon, but that's also a word that just generally is a servant. Originally, it's one who serves tables, waits on tables. But it comes to mean in the church a minister, a servant, one who puts the needs of others before their own, one who loves people well in the gospel. Tychicus is a faithful servant in the Lord. He will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, again, that you may know how we are, but also that he may encourage your hearts. And so I think that part of that encouragement would be in hearing what Paul is feeling, hearing how Paul is doing, that they would naturally be encouraged by that Paul is faithful to the gospel. Paul is not shaken from his mission, and they can be encouraged and strengthened in that as well. But I have to assume that Tychicus himself will be encouraging these believers. But as we know, they're in different struggles. They're called to put on the armor of God, to stand against the schemes of the devil. We assume there are probably some doctrinal heresies that are coming in or different things that are tempting them to turn away from the gospel. I think Tychicus himself will encourage them in those matters as well, partly by sharing what Paul has said, but if Tychicus is a beloved brother and a faithful minister, I think he will be encouraging them from his own heart as well. I think this encapsulates what we see in Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. This is a man who does that. This is a man who is using his words not to corrupt people, not to tear them down, not to put them in their place, but to build them up, to encourage them, to strengthen their hearts. He is faithful. He has done this well, and Paul can count on him. And I think that each one of us should strive to live a life that can be described in that way. Would people describe you as a beloved brother or sister in Christ? Would people describe you as a faithful servant, a faithful minister? If I knew that somebody, or if you knew that somebody needed to be encouraged, or you knew of somebody that needed to be encouraged, would you be sent to do that? Or would people say, yeah, no, don't let them anywhere near him. They're just going to bring the mood way down. They're going to do the opposite of encouragement. Do we live lives that we could step into that gap, that we could be described as faithful ministers, not for our own ego, not for our own sake, but for the gospel? Tychicus is somebody who I would say the heart of his commendation is that he is a faithful servant in the Lord. Who he is rooted in the salvation that Christ has worked in his life, and that flows out into every part of who he is. The way that he treats other people is because Christ died for him. The way that he speaks to other people is because Christ died for him. He dwells in that, and it flows out into every part of his life. Is that your story? Would you be described in this way? I hope so. If not, pray that the Lord will work that in your heart. Pray that the Lord would help you to be an encourager, that the Lord would help you to put the needs of others in front of your own, that you would serve faithfully, that you would be a minister. Second, we see that we should dwell in the peace, love, and faith that come from God. Look at verse 23. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a fairly generic greeting at the end of the letter, but I think it's packed with meaning in the way that Paul uses these terms. Again, these are all three of the terms in that verse. They are central to the argument of Ephesians. And so as Paul says, peace be to you, it's this prayer of blessing upon them. This prayer that God would give them peace, that God would give them love and faith, that they would know that. So just as we think about these, the first peace, where we can't look at all of these, we're almost out of time, but But peace is something we see throughout this letter. Through Christ, we have received peace. Again, as we talked about in communion, I've received peace between myself and God, but I have also received peace with one another. Ephesians chapter 2, the central point of the second half of it is that the Jews and Gentiles were once estranged, but through Christ, they have been made one new person. They are at peace with one another. We're to see in chapter 4, verse 3, we're to strive to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In chapter 6, we see that we're to have our feet prepared by the gospel of peace. That peace, it's this making whole that happens, again, between me and God and between me and everybody else. Peace should reign in our hearts because the gospel produces peace. Second, he also prays that they would receive love with faith. Those are also central elements to the message of Ephesians. And there is a little bit of debate about this relationship between love with faith. You know, what does that mean? Is it love and faith for God? Is it love for others that is faithful? Is it love from God that is seen in his faithfulness towards us? Because faith and faithfulness both use the same Greek word. Could be any combination of these, and I think it's probably not worth splitting hairs. I think they're all true. In the gospel, every single one of those things is true. We should walk in love for God and faith in him. That should be expressed in love and faithfulness toward one another, ultimately because God has first loved us and been faithful to us. And I think that those are all wrapped up. Those are the message of Ephesians. That through the love of God, we have been adopted as his sons. Through the love of God, he has made us alive together with Christ. We are told to walk in love toward one another, to speak the truth in love. Twice we're told to imitate the love of Christ as he loved the church and gave himself up for her. It all works hand in hand. As I grow in my love for God, as I reflect on his love for me, that then produces love for other people. That's at the heart of what it is to follow Christ. Jesus himself tells his disciples that this is how they will know that you belong to me, that you love one another. If we say we belong to Christ, but we don't love our brother, 1 John says, you're a liar. How could you love the God that you can't see if you can't love the brother that you can see? Love and faith go hand in hand. We are saved through faith. We work out our salvation in faith. They all go together. These are attitudes and states, though, that we can't produce on our own. I can't just get up and say, you know what, I'm going to love people better. I can try. I'm not going to be very good at it. But if I ask the Lord to do that, he will. He gives us his Spirit. That's the new covenant that we talked about. He gives us his Spirit to produce that in us. Paul says that the Spirit strengthens our hearts through faith so that we may understand the love of Christ. You can't separate them. We think about the love of God on our behalf and we ask him to produce that same love in us. Loving one another as Christ has loved us. That's not easy. At our core, we are selfish. We want to protect ourselves. We want to seek our own interests. But love is, how can I help you? You are just as important as I am. I am no better than you. I am no more worthy of good treatment than you are. How can I love you? How can I meet your needs? Because other people have met mine. Ultimately, Christ has met my greatest need. Let us dwell in that peace, love, and faith day after day. And finally, let the grace of Christ produce incorruptible love within you. Verse 24. Grace be with all of you who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Grace is that fourth theme of Ephesians. We are adopted as sons and daughters of God to the praise of his glorious grace. It is by grace, through faith, that we have been saved. Grace is a gift. It's unmerited favor from God. We didn't deserve it. We can't earn it, but he has chosen to give it anyway. Grace is that gift of salvation through Christ when we couldn't, when we can't obey his law. Christ loved us enough to take on flesh, to die for us, to make his life available to us. Paul says, grace be with you all. All who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible, or I think the King James translates that with sincere love. There are a couple elements that could be possible in that phrase, love incorruptible. It could be love that never ends. One translation, the NET Bible, translates it undying love. The King James is sincere love. I think both are true. That through Christ we can love him with love incorruptible. Undying, sincere, true, and pure love, not because we have mustered it up on our own, but because we love him because he first loved us. Again, this summarizes the whole letter. I would encourage you today or this week, read through, start to finish the letter of Ephesians. I'm not a fast reader, and it doesn't take me that long to get through it. I would encourage you, read it start to finish in one sitting and chew on it. See how these four things work through the letter. Peace, love, faith, and grace. They summarize the whole message, and they are central to everything that we believe as Christians, to everything that we do as Christians. And so as we close, as we go out from here, as I hope you reflect on this throughout the week, rest daily in the love, the peace, the love, the faith, and grace that the gospel proclaims. Remember that Christ has taken our place, that he died for our sins and rose from the dead. Remember that he is seated in the heavenly places far above all rule and authority. Remember the radical peace of God that he has brought into our lives, both between estranged peoples, but between us and God as well. Remember the love that God showed to us in Christ and the love and the unity that his Spirit produces within us. Remember that it is only by his grace through faith that we are saved, but that our faith should still produce in us good works. That's the next verse in that passage, that we are created to, as his workmanship, to walk in the good works which he has prepared beforehand for us. And then let us, in light of this all, walk together in a way that is worthy of the calling to which we have been called. There are elements of this life that are individual. My faith with God, my faith in God, in Christ and what he's done, that is how I am saved. There are individual aspects of this, but again, as we talked about in communion, there are communal aspects of this. That we cannot live out the call of Ephesians on our own. We're called to do this to one another, with one another, through the encouragement of one another. Walk in community with one another. Love one another and serve one another. Speak the truth to one another in love. We work together to equip one another for the work of the ministry so that we can all grow together into a mature body, faithful in Christ, being guarded against false doctrine and every wind that may lead us astray. We pray for one another diligently as we work together to proclaim the gospel to the world around us with boldness. So as we close, faithfully serve to encourage others. Dwell in the peace, love, and faith that come from God, and let the grace of Christ produce incorruptible love within you. Everything about the way we live must be rooted in Christ. It starts with him, works in our heart, but then it must flow out of us. That if we have truly grasped what Christ has done, we shouldn't be able to help but sharing that with others. Those things, peace, love, faith, and grace, those are all things that we have received from Christ, but they're all things we are called to share with one another. Let us dwell in that. Let us reflect on the goodness of the gospel in our hearts. Let us pray that the Lord will produce works that reflect that to others. And if you're here and you don't know the grace of Christ, you don't know the peace that he has made available to us in God, you don't know the love and the faith that we can have in him, come talk to me. Come talk to somebody on the worship team. We would love to have that conversation with you. It is the only way to life. Let us cling to it. Let us proclaim it day after day to ourselves and to those around us. Would you please pray with me? Father, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, for the goodness of the gospel, for the peace, the love, the faithfulness, the grace that you have shown to us. Help us to dwell in that day after day, to live in the life that it brings, and help us to share that with those around us, that we would walk with peace and love and faithfulness and grace towards those around us. We would proclaim the message of the gospel to our coworkers, to our family members, to our friends, to our neighbors. Lord, give us the boldness to do that well. Help us to walk together with one another as a body of believers. Help us to faithfully live out the calling of the church, that we would all do the work of the ministry together. Help us to pray for one another boldly, to stand with one another against the schemes of the devil and the lies of false doctrine. Lord, help us to live faithfully in you, not because of anything in and of ourselves, but because you first have loved us. We love you. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand and sing with us?